Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this 16th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Paul's first epistle to Timothy, the fourth chapter. We will read all of that chapter, verses 1 through 16. It's 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 16, where we read in the name of our Lord. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, how kind you truly are. Grant us the grace to ascertain the depth of your kindness. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. It's always a pleasure to read out of these epistles. These are likely the last three epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. They're called the pastoral epistles, kind of the last things Paul probably wrote. He was older now, and that's what's really interesting to read. In these epistles, he talks about his experience, what he experienced in Acts, the different things he went through. He kind of talks about these things and how he would get kind of worked up about those things. Now he comes to this stage in his life where he understands very clearly the faithfulness of God and how faithful and good God really is. And he tells his associates that he has ordained into the office of the ministry, into the public ministry. He teaches them from this example. And it's really quite interesting what he has to say. Because as he's come to this stage in life, he recognizes what's really important. He's gone through all sorts of different experiences. He has witnessed, as he says, he's witnessed times when he has been very, very blessed and he's got all sorts of stuff and everything is going along quite well. He's witnessed times when things aren't quite that way and when things are very, very difficult. And he recognizes one thing: God is good. You see, in life, we become poisoned Because when we're little, that's basically what we teach kids. We just tell them, well, God is good. You know, we tell them to pray, God is great, God is good. So we thank him for our food. And they believe us. And then as we get older, we kind of come to that point of thinking, well, most of the time, that's the way it is. Paul understood very clearly, no, it's all the time. It's all the time. God is good. When Paul speaks to Timothy and Titus, this is what he's telling them. I want you to realize, he says, I've gone through all these different sort of things. I've experienced all of these things, and he's telling them very clearly, you know this, because some of them you experienced with me. And he says, and you know what's really important. God is good. God is good. And you need to hold to this faith. This is what you need to tell people, he says. This is what you need to tell them. He says, and he's referring to this at the end of chapter 3. He says, this is really the great mystery, he says. This is the secret of godliness. He says, Jesus appeared in the flesh, was shown to be right by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. And you see, this is the thing that we need to understand. This is the nature of God's grace. This is a certainty. This is the reality of things. I've told you this many times, and I warned you, because when you get to this age, you're kind of like St. Peter, and St. Peter comes to the end of life, and he's like telling people, look, he says, this is all I got to say to you, and he says, and I'm going to tell you every time. He says, I'm going to tell you the same thing over and over again. He says, I'm going to tell you that over and over again, he says, until I die. He says, I'm going to do this because that's the only thing that really matters. He says, what I'm going to talk to you about is the only thing that really matters. He says that you understand that God sent his son to suffer and die for your sin. That he took away your sin through the shed blood of Jesus. And he gave you peace. And he gave you life. And he, honest to goodness, wants you to have it. He wants you to have it. He's not trying to hold it back from you. He's not trying to make it hard. He's not putting obstacles in there to make it difficult. He wants you to have it. He wants you to live with him forever. And he has given it to you freely. He says, this is the secret of godliness, which is not a secret anymore. If you tell a secret, it's not a secret. He says, now it's openly declared so that you would understand the grace of your God. And you would believe it. And you would live in it. Because it's true. That's true. It's just true. And that's it. That's all there is to this. It's the easiest thing that there is. It's way easier than the New York Times crossword puzzle. It's easy. It's easy. And that's why he tells Timothy, he says, but the Spirit tells us, he says, there's going to be people that will show up and they're going to make this hard. They're going to really try to make this really hard. He says, because they're going to be deceived. And he says, so in the later times, this is what's going to happen. He says, they're going to make this hard, and they're not going to understand. They've departed from that faith. They've lost it. He says, so they're going to listen to these false spirits that come in. He says, they're going to listen, he says, to demons' teachings. He says, they're going to listen to those who are liars in outward show. He says, because their own conscience is seared. Because they simply won't believe the fact that God is just that good. He is that good. He is that good. And you understand that so often when we talk to people, well, there's got to be something more to it. You know, you should really give me proof. You know, you should provide me with some kind of proof. You should give me something. You know, some sort of thing. We should have like, a, you know, when I was a kid, we always wanted to buy these cereals. You know, you bought the cereal because you had like a secret decoder ring in there. And you would get this wonderful message that you could decode with that secret decoder ring. So you'd sit there and turn that little dial around to the numbers, which is a very simple code thing, you know, numbers for letters. And turn that thing around and then it would get it done. And you'd write it out and it would be, buy more cereal. You know, and you understand this. In relationship to all these sorts of things, that's the way it is. There's always some shiny object. There's always something. There's always something that has to be done in order to improve on this. That somehow or another, it just can't be that easy. But it is. Hopefully you came here today for grace, because you're going to get it. You're going to get it. I hope that's really all you came here for. Because if you came here for a long diatribe on theological impulses or different sort of things, you are wasting your time. Because till the day I die, all I'm going to tell people is this simple understanding. God is really that good. He's that kind. And he has given you eternal life. He's not making you do anything to get it. He gave it to you. And if you want it, then you have it. Because all you need to do is call upon him. And he pours out his grace. That's how the scripture describes it. He pours it out freely. He just gives it to you. And Paul says, this is what Timothy and Titus, this is what they need to hold on to and do and understand. He says, to realize very clearly, don't get caught up in this stuff. He says, don't get caught up in the people that come in and say, well, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't eat this and you can't eat that. He says, no, he says, that's not how this is. He says, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he says, for crying out loud, you can eat shrimp. Back in the Old Testament, you know, they couldn't do that. And that was smart. They're bottom dwellers. I don't eat them. I was a biology major. I know better. But you can eat them. If they're cooked right and taken care of and things like that, you can eat them and it's okay. He says, as a matter of fact, all you need to do is cook them right and pray over them. Because now there's no longer any of those sorts of things in place. God has given you freedom. You can eat bottom dwellers. I will not join you. The reality of things is, but you can do that. And understand very clearly, you're not more sanctified and I'm not more sanctified. Because we've all been totally sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, so everything that is given to you, he says, this is what you do. You sanctify it by the word of God and by prayer. How do you do that? Because the word is in you and with you, and the Holy Spirit is with you. When you pray, God hears you. And as a matter of fact, he honors what you request from him. Because this is the power that is in you by the Holy Spirit of God, by his grace. And then Paul simply says, and that's what I'm telling you, Timothy. He tells him very clearly. He says, if you point this out to your brothers and sisters, he says, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. He says, being trained with the words of faith and the good teachings which follow. He says, but godless. And then he uses this phraseology, old women's made up religious stories. But what he means by this is an idiomatic expression. What he means by this is mythology that people construct and that you hear that somehow or another you can't do this, that somehow or another you can't do that. He says, lay all of that aside. He says, avoid all of that. He says, you give people grace. You tell them very clearly, you give them my grace. And you understand, I will take care of them. I'll take care of business with them. He says, if they're sanctified by my Spirit, I'm going to take care of them. He says, if they're doing something that's bad, he says, I'll let them know. If they're doing the right things, I'll let them know. He says, you don't have to do this for me. He says, what you need to do is just tell them. There's grace. There's grace. You come. You come. There's grace. You come. And you receive. You believe. You live. 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 That's the message that we need. We need people to live. We need them to live. We need them to understand you're alive. You're alive for good reason. You are alive forever for good reason. You are alive forever because that's what God wants. He wants you alive forever. And he's keeping you alive forever. He has given you immortality. He has given you new life so that you would live in it. So that you would live in it. And yeah, you can start now. You can start now. That's what he's saying. Because when the mortal portion is gone and it doesn't function anymore, all that happens is your mail can't get delivered. Sorry, Travis, you're out of a job. But this is what happens when that happens. He says, all that happens is your mail just can't be delivered. That's it. You're still alive. You're alive. You just don't have an address. That's all. Like you need one anyways. The reality of things is that this is the gospel. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. You tell people that. That's all you have to tell them. You tell them that. You tell them the goodness of God, the richness of his mercy. You tell them. You tell them that this is what he has done. And you let him just come to me. And that's the whole key. You just let them come to me. Let them come to me. If they got troubles, I can handle them. I can handle all the troubles. Just let them come to me. Let them come to me. Don't cut them off with this other nonsense. Don't cut them off. You remember when the people were bringing the babies to Jesus and the disciples got out there and they said, don't be bothering Jesus with that. No, he's got major stuff to take care of. And Jesus says, no. He says, no, you guys knock that off. He says, you bring those babies to me. He says, that's what the kingdom's made up of. He says, everyone to me is one of those little ones. Everyone. And I receive every one of them. I receive every one of them. I bless them all. And that's why he says this. He says, don't be given over to this nonsense. He says, because if you work over your body, he says, that will benefit you in a small way. He says, but really, what's really beneficial to you is godliness. And he already said, this is the mystery of godliness. It's Jesus Christ. He says, it's Jesus Christ in you. He says, that's what has the promise of eternity. And he says, so this is a very faithful statement. He says, that's what I want you to understand. And it's worthy of being accepted by all people. He says, for this reason, we labor and strive because we have hope in the living God who is the Savior of all humanity, especially the believers. He is the Savior of all humanity, especially the believers. He's your Savior. He's my Savior. That guy over there in the park's Savior. He's the Savior of all humanity. He saved them all. He shed his blood for every last one of them. He shed the blood so that they could freely come. That's why he says, especially of the believers, because you know when you become a believer, all of a sudden that power of the Holy Spirit is within you, and the confirmation of that is present within you. And you have that great understanding where you know, yes, yes. You know God's yes, yes. God says yes to you, yes. You turn to God and say, can I be saved? God says, yes. Are you saved? Am I saved? Yes. Will I be saved forever? Yes. Do you remember my sins? No. No. Because my answer to you is yes. So yes. You're mine. I purchased you. The blood of my son testifies to the fact. You're mine. You're mine. I love you. I love you. With a love that you can't even fully understand or appreciate, I love you. And I'm just waiting for the day when we'll meet up face to face, because once you're outside of the mortal body, he says, you can survive that. He says, I want you to understand how precious to me you really are, so that you would realize that and live that way in your life. And that's why he says, this is what I want you to command and teach. He says, that's what I want you to teach people. And then he says, let no man despise thy youth, no longer applicable to me. That's one thing I can honestly tell you I don't have is youth anymore. But this is what he says to Timothy. He says, just because you're young, don't let somebody tell you otherwise. He says, don't let anybody change the story. He says, just be an example. Be an example. Live the way that you preach. Live the way you preach. See, this is the thing that we've got to bring into the world. We've got to live what we preach. We've got to live what we preach. I can't, with one breath, receive this wonderful grace of God and then take it away from somebody else. And I won't. I won't. I won't do that. He says very clearly, that's what you need to do. He says, so, he says, until I'm able to get to see you again, he says, you keep, in this attendance to reading means, you keep proclaiming this word. You keep speaking it aloud is what he means. They read everything aloud in the ancient world. He says, you keep reading all of this aloud. He says, the exhortation is preaching. He says, in other words, you preach to them. And he says, and you teach them. That's the doctrine part. He says, don't neglect the gift that was in you through your ordination. He says, but pay attention to these things. He says, pay attention to them. And pay attention to yourself and to the teaching, and continue in both. He says this great thing. In doing this, you will both save yourself and those that hear you. That's all that we're here for. That's all we're here for. Because the scripture tells us when we get to be with the Lord, we won't even remember this. It will be like the blink of an eye. It says it just won't. It will hardly even have happened. It says, but when we're with the Lord, we will know. We're saved. We live. We live. Paul says, do this, do this. He says, all you need to do, all you need to do is tell them. He says, all you need to do is tell them. That's all you need to do. Just tell them. He says, just tell them. Just tell them. He says, tell them. He says, and in the hearing of that word, they will be saved. And that's true. That's true. That's what this is all about. And yeah, you can come out the door and look for an off switch again. But it ain't going to happen. I wasn't born with one of those. And now you really come to the point of understanding. Because that's all there is for me to talk about. I can honestly tell you at this age, I don't have a lot of use for a lot of other things. There was a time when I used to care about my baseball teams and football teams and all these sort of things like that. I honestly considered them to be a bunch of overpaid babies, and I could care less for the most part what happens to them. But this one thing I do know, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us all from all iniquity. The blood of Jesus Christ makes us to be eternal and living forever. And the person who places their trust in Jesus the Christ will never be disappointed, because they are going to spend eternity with their God forever in endless joy and peace. And so you might as well get started now. Enjoy the life now. Enjoy the peace. And honor your God. For he loves you. He loves you. If you came here for grace, you have it. You have it. Live in it. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, no one can even come close to fathoming how much you really do truly love us. But on the cross, you show us. Your Son sheds his blood and dies. But he rises and he takes us with him. He gives us grace, the grace we can't understand. He pours out upon us that we should have it in abundance. Draw us, Father. Bring us. Nurture us. Strengthen us. Live in us. Hear us, Father, and send us to be your instruments in this world. Simply bring that grace. And in all things, Father, glorify your name for Jesus' sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.